Welcome to GVN's Talking Comics interview. On today's show, we welcome the writer-creator of Ahoy Comics' Black Myths, Eric Palicki. Here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome once again to another edition of GVN's Talking Comics. I'm your host, Martin. And today we have the pleasure of talking to writer Eric Palicki, who actually has a new book coming out in July for Ahoy Comics, which is called Blacksmith. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about his career and anything else we can think of talk about here. So let's welcome Eric Palicki to GVN's Talking Comics. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. How are you today?
Oh, doing good. It's Friday. That makes it better because I don't have to, I don't work again until Tuesday. So that works for me. All right. For some of our fans who may not be familiar with you, let's start in the beginning because I'm old. That's how I start. What first got you interested in writing, and were comics always your first ambition?
In college, I thought that I would be a short story writer. I had my eye on a career like Harlan Ellison or Ray Bradbury. And at some point, for reasons that I cannot remember and that are lost to the annals of time, I sort of just segued into comics and discovered, I think, a comic script in the back of a trade paperback I bought, and realized that that was something I could do. And the rest is history. And, you know, after about 10 years of getting it very wrong, I somehow figured out how to do it well enough to get published and started with some short stories here and there, and then, you know, longer form work. And here we are.
All right. So were you a comics fan to begin with?
Yes. I was a comics fan as a kid, from sixth grade through the early years of high school. And then my attention drifted to other things, as teenage boys' attention is wont to do. Yeah. And came back to it as an adult when right around the early 2000s, when we kind of, came out of Marvel's bankruptcy era and comics were kind of entering in this new modern age of quality content that we're still in right now.
Okay. Now you actually, as I was doing a little bit of research before we started, you've kind of been doing the self-publishing thing. Kind of, it's quite in vogue now, but you were doing it before then, and you've done self-published books. You've worked for Marvel. Which gives you probably the most satisfaction, or maybe the biggest challenge? Were doing your own self-published books or working for an established publisher?
Well, every opportunity presents its own set of challenges, right? With self-publishing, you have to wear a lot more hats. So, running a Kickstarter campaign means, getting podcasts to talk to you and places like, comics news sites to run articles. And you have to do that 24/7 hustle on social media and what have you. Whereas, working for a company like Marvel, or even to an extent Ahoy, a lot of that is taken off your plate. But at the same time, especially with Marvel, especially working with someone else's characters, there's a difficulty as a writer that comes from finding that character's voice, which differs a little bit from when you're creating the character whole cloth.
Right. And, actually I talked to Tom Pyre, the editor in chief of Ahoy last week, and he talked about that kind of thing. He said, and also, working for the publisher, which, it's great because he got a chance to do, write characters that he's always loved, but you're kind of pigeonholed in what you can and can't do with that character because it's not your character.
Exactly. And I think it's Stan Lee who said that, whereas, when you're doing your own thing, the characters are allowed to grow and change. But with Marvel characters specifically, it's only the illusion of change. And so you have to put all the toys back in the toy box the way you found them at the end of your time with those characters.
Right. Okay. Well, so, you know, speaking of Ahoy, of course, you're you got a new book called coming out called Blacksmith. Tell us a little bit about that and what it's all about.
Sure. It's a supernaturally tinged noir detective story set in Los Angeles. And it is the story of Janie Jones Strummer Mercado, a Los Angeles PI, who is hired to find 30 stolen bullets, which may or may not have been made from the silver paid to Judas.
I thought, you know, actually I read a little bit of blurb about that and I didn't quite understand it until you just told me how that worked. Well, I know I talked, again, like I said, I talked to Tom. He's real excited about this book. Now, is this a limited series or is this, what exactly, how long are we looking for Blacksmith?
It is a 5-issue monthly series. The first issue is a little bit oversized. It's 22 pages. And the rest of the issues will fall into the standard 20 pages per issue size that you'll find in an Ahoy magazine. Now, of course, Ahoy publishes their books in more of a magazine format. So you get, you know, prose stories and interviews and everything else as back matter in those individual issues.
So do you foresee, I know they usually like they'll do, like I say, a season, almost like a season one, season two, you know, depending on how the book goes. Is this something you look to be doing more than one volume of?
Gosh, I hope so. I hope people will check out the book. It is going to be published in black and white with gray tones, which, you know, I think Walking Dead has proved to everyone that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I really hope that this book finds an audience because I love the characters. I love the world that Wendell and I have created for these characters. And I really hope that I get to revisit it for, you know, a season two, a season three, and, you know, and what have you. And I have stories in mind.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So now was this a story that you pitched to Ahoy, and were they the only ones that you pitched it to, or did you pitch it to other publishers as well?
This is an idea that I had sort of been sitting on for a couple of years. I talked to a couple other publishers about it, but it's kind of got a quirky sensibility to it that was perfect for Ahoy. So, you know, while other publishers did show interest and there were discussions had, I'm glad ultimately that it landed at Ahoy. And given that Ahoy does have that quirky sensibility about it, you know, that sense of humor to their work, making sure that voice was captured in Blacksmith posed a very interesting challenge to me as a writer. And I think my work is stronger for it. So this is really just a match made in heaven and just delighted with how the finished product is turning out.
It's funny you said that because I was worried to ask you about that because that's one of the things that Tom said, that almost all of their books have some form of underlying humor to them. And I know this, you know, because I read and review a number of them and it's true. So, and of course, doing something with where you've got a, you know, a sort of a noir kind of a serious kind of thing, I guess the challenge maybe is adding that little bit of humor into it. And that may have been something that you had already designed in the beginning. So I didn't know if this was something you had to kind of adapt to or was already, you know, baked in.
There was a little bit of it. I always I defer to work like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which in spite of often dealing with very serious themes, always had a certain sense of humor and a certain like quippiness to the characters. And that's kind of the level of humor that we go for here. You know, it's not slapstick, but there is definitely a sense of humor to the characters, to the situations.
Right, and that's kind of my favorite way to do it. You know, as my wife would tell you, we're kind of snarky, but.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
But that would kind of work. Okay, you mentioned Wendell. You're working again with Wendell Cavalcanti as your artist. You know, you've worked with him before, correct?
Professionally, this is our second major work together. He drew Atlantis Wasn't Built for Tourists, which I wrote for Scout Comics, which came out over the first half or the latter half of 2020, and then the trade was just recently released. But you know, our collaborative partnership and friendship goes back more than a decade. When I was just trying to find my footing in comics, I hired this artist out of Brazil to draw a 4-page script that I had written when I was just still trying to figure out how the work was done. Little short story that we ended up putting online called The Undertaker's Daughter, about a teenage hit woman. Mm-hmm. And it was Wendell who drew that. And so we have stayed in touch for over a decade now. His art has matured right alongside my writing. And I really hope that this book, you know, gives him the attention that he has deserved all along.
Yeah, so from what I've seen, you know, a little bit I've seen, I'm sure it will. Now, as far as what, like, would say, when you brought this to Ahoy, he was already on board as far as the project went there before you brought it to Ahoy?
Yeah, so when I pitched it to Ahoy, he had done some pages for the book, and I brought it to Ahoy with those pages complete. And and while the agreement with Ahoy wasn't necessarily predicated on Wendell drawing it, I was really hopeful that one, his schedule would work out, and two, that he would. That his work would be something that Ahoy was into. And, you know, of course, you know, things all worked out, and, you know, he's finishing up the last few pages of the last issue as we speak. So I'm really excited for people to see the whole 5 issues of work that he's put in.
Excellent. Okay. I would be remiss if I didn't ask this, and that's only because my wife and I are huge Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. And of course, Sister Adrian was Bobby Morris at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I was talking to my wife about doing our interview, and I mentioned that she had written a book with you, which was, I believe, No Angels. So I know you've been asked this 100 times, but I've never asked you. So what was it like writing with your sister? Because I imagine she had probably, being an actress, she probably had a different viewpoint than you did as far as a story goes.
That is exactly correct. It is, I don't know if you've read No Angel, but No Angel is very much a story about siblings. It is very much a story about family. And thematically, it was a perfect opportunity for us to collaborate together. I think the finished product is great. It is available from Black Mask Studios. You know, we were doing, celebrity written and created comics before Keanu Reeves made it cool. So I do hope, you know, people will seek out No Angel. But in terms of the specific question you asked, every argument that we had about the story that we put together came from that difference in sensibilities, and, you know, her experiences in Hollywood with a story has to have a love interest, and a story has to follow a specific arc. And one of the delightful aspects of working in comics, one of my very favorite parts of it is that we are not beholden to that structure the way that Hollywood is. You know, granted, you know, I completely understand that, sure, if, you know, Amazon Prime or Netflix comes calling and wants to do a No Angel TV series, that those are things that will have to be added in. But in terms of the comics itself, we can do what we want. And, right. You know, that outlaw, you know, Wild West aspect of comics is one of the big draws for me, being able to tell any story I want, you know, as long as I'm not putting too much stress on a poor artist who has to draw it, is one of the best parts about working in comics.
They say, well, I can imagine, you know, like I said, if it went to go to Amazon Prime, they decided to have a love interest in it. She would go, see, I told you, they needed one. Should I have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Love to say, I told you so.
Most sisters do. I've got four of them. So so I get four of that. You know, like I said, you're working on Black Myth, but I think I read, one of your tweets, you got a Kickstarter coming up?
Yeah, I'm going to be launching a Kickstarter for an original graphic novel, novella. It's going to be done in a more European style, where it'll be a 48-page story, but hardcover with expanded dimensions on the pages. And what I'm really hoping is that it's going to be like a really cool conversation piece that you'll be able to put on your coffee table or on your bookshelf, and that people will be able to like treat it as an object, as something of some permanence. I love comics to pieces, and I love, you know, I love the 22-page periodical that we're all used to when we think of a comic book. And when I was a kid, you know, we used to share those around. We'd roll them up and stick them in our back pockets, and they would be read and reread until the spines rolled and the covers fell off. But with Manticore, which is my upcoming Kickstarter, I really just wanted to create something that just has some durability and some permanence, and something that when I read it or when someone reads it and likes it, you know, knock on wood, they can give it to someone and it'll be a lasting object.
And when is this Kickstarter starting?
It's going to be starting mid-June. Yeah, it's a collaboration with myself and another comics veteran, Chris Peterson, who has drawn in the past for Dark Horse and Black Mask as well. And he's just turning out the best work of his career.
Well, perfect. Okay. That's really all I've got. Other than Black Myths and of course Manticore, do you got anything else that you want the fans to know about?
Sure. Someone who wears a lot of hats, I have also done some editing work, and I have edited a number of comics anthologies for A Wave Blue World, the publisher A Wave Blue World, and we are in the process of putting the finishing touches on Deadbeats Volume 2. Deadbeats was our musically themed horror anthology that came out in 2019, and I'm really excited that we'll be doing the Volume 2. The Kickstarter for that will be launching in the beginning of June. Number of big name creators involved in that, and I don't want to steal the thunder from the publisher as they announce it. So hopefully people will keep an eye on that. You can, you know, keep an eye on my Twitter, which is at Eric Palicki, for announcements about what will be in Deadbeats Volume 2.
Excellent. Well, okay then. Well, I thank you for your time, Eric, and we'll be following, I'll be following Blacksmith because Hoy is one of the folks that I follow. I'm real big on the indie comics folks.
Really appreciate that.
We'll be following that along with interest, and we'll hope to talk to you again real soon.
Great. Yeah, just a heads up that the first issue will be in stores on July 7th, and I hope your listeners will get in touch with their local comic stores and let them know that they would be happy.
All right. You heard the man. Let's get her done. All right. I appreciate it, Eric.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to GVN's Talking Comics. Please come back again. Talking Comics is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.